Brilliance Audio. Deadlands by Victoria Millich. Performed by Laura Jennings. 1. We don't hear the car as quickly as we should because of what I've brought Wolf here to see. A curve of metal jutting out of the sand, just beyond a scattering of creosote. The rest of the object is buried, wedged too deeply in the dirt to know its size or shape. We aren't far from the settlement here, no more than an hour walking if you weave through the cacti and brush in a straight line. 2 days ago, when I first found the object, its surface was just a glint I thought was mica. The desert had been rearranged recently by a dust storm. The minerals in the dirt must. And I thought maybe I'd found an interesting rock worth taking. It was only after I dug that I started to unearth the edge of a container. That's what I tell Wolf I think the object is. Some kind of container. Possibly with something inside. But he insists on acting uninterested, on pretending he doesn't care. "Did you tell Dad?" he asks. "No," I say. "Why would I tell Dad? If it's not important, what are we here for?" he says, belligerent. But I catch his eyes darting to the ground, flitting across the metal. "What do you think it is?" I ask. "Probably just trash. Buried like this, with nothing else around it?" He shrugs and crosses his arms. I watch his eyes sweep across the spiny shrubs of our desert, the knobby hills with their hard, round cacti, the dry mountains that always loom in the distance. Wolf is younger than I am, but he'd be taller if he stood up straight. When he stands, his shoulders curl inward like they're meant to fit inside a shell. "Even if it's trash, Dad would find a use for it," I say. "It looks like good metal."
"He doesn't like you poking around," says Wolf.
"Says who?" Wolf's eyebrows tip down.
"You know he doesn't."
"Dad didn't mind when I found that stash of chicken wire," I say. "He's still using it to fix the fencing. And I bet there's something useful in here, too, or valuable. Why else would someone bury it?"
"Why would someone bury something that's valuable?"
"So they could come back to it. Maybe it's guns. Or an emergency stash of food. There's a woman who found a chest of old paper money years ago, buried on the land she lived on. It wasn't worth anything anymore, but still."
"How do you know that?" Wolf frowns.
"I read it."
"Where?"
I'm about to say, but it occurs to me that he might be trying to trap me, that he thinks I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, like poking around Dad's office, maybe even using the computers. Instead, I shrug like him and keep quiet. There's a tight ball of anger that's formed in my chest, close to where my heart beats. When I inhale, it expands, and when I exhale, it cleaves tighter, slowly making it harder for me to breathe. Wolf doesn't make a move to leave, but he doesn't say anything either. He just keeps staring at brownish parts of the ground that are anything but the object I've brought him here to see. That's when we hear the car. When we know it's too late to hide, because we can already see it. A hulking green vehicle creeping toward us. There's nothing to do but wait for it to drive up to us, listen to its wheels crunch across the sand and spit up small rocks. We wait, motionless, like two small mammals frozen from dull animal instinct. The windows of the car are caked with dust, but the windshield is clean enough to see through. There's a large half moon wiped clear of dirt, and through it we can see two people. One of them is the woman who's driving. The other is a man holding onto his seat as the car wobbles over the uneven ground, because there's no road here. Just patches of dirt that are clearer than others. The man stares right at Wolf and me, his gaze moving evenly between us. I'm glad for the ball of anger in my chest, because it makes me braver than I am, makes me stare back at him without flinching. The car pulls up next.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?